Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a hymn that demands your attention. No, I mean it. You have to take it seriously. You have to take seriously what Jesus did. You have to take seriously who he is, whom God sent into this world to be our Savior. Columba, the author of that hymn, and the people he came from were a pretty rough and tumble group. But he grasped the real message and impact of what it is that our Lord Jesus has done. Because he came to fight a battle for us. He came to step in wearing our colors, namely our flesh and blood. And he battled Satan in the way that God knows is best. And he overcame him and the grave and all condemnation. And in him, the Father gives us the victory. That's why we're baptized into him. That's why what happened to us so long ago for so many of us in our baptism is still of such importance today. We don't take our baptism, if we don't take our baptism seriously, we don't take seriously what it is that Jesus has done for us. Our text today is the gospel lesson, the first two verses from John 15, where Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." This term helper in some of these translations, sometimes it's helper, advocate, comforter, I still think is a perfectly marvelous way of translating it. Sometimes it comes out in the hymn verses as just, they put the Greek word right there, paraclete. So if you see that next week in any of the hymns for Pentecost or at any time, that's what it means. It's this word for comforter and helper. The one who stands beside you, paraclete. Like parallel, and the one who then speaks, that's the last part of the word, the one who speaks either on your behalf to someone else or speaks to you the comfort that you need to hear. These passages are some of my favorite ones on the Holy Spirit and the whole Trinity, and it gets at the very simple fact. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, as you'll see next week, is to point at Jesus. He does not come pointing at himself, look at all the marvelous, wonderful things I can do. He points to Jesus. Like John the Baptizer, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Like Jesus says in this text, that he will testify of me. He will bear witness. Unfortunately, there are individuals and there are whole church bodies that try to make the Holy Spirit into some sort of giver of wild religious experience that you can't really call yourself a Christian unless you've had this kind of experience. All these characters on TV would have you think that. Don't be swayed by that. On the other hand, there are also church bodies and individuals who think that the Holy Spirit came to reveal some kind of secret knowledge. It's not in Scripture. They quote from the previous chapter, John 14:26, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Well, what did Jesus say? He taught them, and he teaches us through his Holy Word. After all, it's the Holy Spirit who inspired Scripture itself. And he wants us to stick with it. He didn't forget to have the writers write down some things, and then he had people come along later on and say, "Oh, by the way, we should do this or not do that." That misses the whole point of what Jesus and the Father send the Holy Spirit to do, that he's to testify about our need for him. That's what the verses later on, I think they actually were read here a couple weeks ago, When he comes, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to point out my sin. It's like going to the doctor. You don't want to hear what he's got to say sometimes, but you need to hear it, because he's also got the solution. He will convict the world of righteousness because I go to my Father, namely, that our Lord Jesus fulfills all that the Father sent him to do. And then that he will convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. One of the most wonderful pictures of our Lord Jesus is from the Middle Ages, where he tramples death underfoot, where he has this staff and it's spearing right through Satan. The whole idea is that our Lord Christ is victorious, and this is what the Holy Spirit comes to reveal. And he reveals it through Holy Scripture. So he shows us what we truly need, that we need a Savior, that we have a Savior, and that this Savior continues to be ours. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to put down in Scripture what they put down. God's desire is not simply that you have to do this and you don't do that, a whole long list of regulations. Yes, there are things which are God's will. You will not have other gods. You will not take my name in vain. You will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, to hear God's word and so forth. Go through the whole Ten Commandments. It's God's will. But at the end of the day, we don't sit there with a checklist. Okay, I did that. I did that. I didn't do so hot on that one. Well, that's most of them, so God should be happy with me. That's not his purpose. His purpose is that we see that our Lord Christ came into this world because we who are dead in trespasses and sins could not help ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit reveals in Holy Scripture, here's what God's Son came to do. He came to win this thing for you, namely eternal salvation. He didn't just come to show you how to be a good person. Now you better get out there and do it. He came to win the victory for us. In a way, that's a summation of the whole Easter season. Everything that God desired to be done by human beings was fulfilled in his Son. Adam and his wife failed. Their children failed. Their children failed on down the line to us, who continue to fail. We don't keep his word perfectly. We don't keep his will perfectly. We don't keep his law perfectly. And yet, we have a hope. We have a hope and a future, that our Lord Christ is the one who has paved the way for that. And now he gives us the Holy Spirit. It says that he, the Comforter, will testify about me. That's exactly what the church needs to hear. Because next week we look forward to celebrating Pentecost, the granting of what Jesus says here, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happens on Pentecost? Listen to what all the apostles preach. They talk about Jesus. They talk about what he's done and who he is. And they convict those who hear them of their sin and their need for a Savior, and they point out, here he is. He's the one who was crucified and has overcome the grave. Throughout Holy Scripture, then, God continues to reveal to us and to encourage us and to inform us and remind us of these things that have been taught from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and his wife sin, they hear the promise that there will be someone to come and crush the head of the serpent. And that sets the tone for all of Scripture, all the way through, from beginning to end. So that by the time you get to the end and you're singing the same words, like we sang before, this is the feast, when you're singing those words, you realize then that you're singing the words of heaven. You're singing the words of those who have gone before us in the faith and have already been victorious and are only now simply looking forward to the resurrection, when our Lord Jesus will return on the last day and show the whole world that, yes, he has conquered. When John the Baptizer was still in his mother's womb and the Virgin Mary came to visit her relative Elizabeth, John's mother, John leaps for joy at the voice of the one who is bearing the Messiah. The Holy Spirit prompted him to do that. Later on, when he is conducting his public ministry, John the Baptizer ends up, like I said before, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must increase, I must decrease." This is what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't worry about you trying to pin him down and see what he's doing. He wants you to think about Jesus and your need for him, and the fact that you have him as your Savior. When the Holy Spirit points at what Jesus has done, how he continues to rule over and protect and guide his church, and that means us, this is the foundation for everything that follows in the verses that follow here in chapter 16. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to be offended." You should not be made to stumble. "They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." In other words, as the church continues to confess who Jesus is and what he's done, the world continues to say, "We don't like to hear that. Who wants to hear about anything like that? I don't need a savior. I do just fine by myself." To the point then where the world actively persecutes the faith. Sometimes it's more subtle than others. Sometimes it's the snide remarks of people at work or wherever. "Why do you waste your time going to that place? Look at how they misuse all their money. You're giving money to the church?" Things like that get said, trying to cause doubt in a person's heart. But it's the world's lack of knowledge, namely of faith in God the Father, that is revealed when they say these things. We shouldn't be surprised then when there's objections made to the gospel. And that means objections to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who proclaims that in each individual mouth of each individual believer. But our Lord promises to keep us as his, to guard us as his. He wants us to remain with his word and sacrament, because that's where he continues to give us what it is that we confess about him. And so the Holy Spirit comforts us and helps us. He testifies in word and sacrament about our salvation, about our Savior and our Redeemer. As I said before, sometimes the word advocate is used. In other countries, the word advocate means a lawyer, somebody who speaks up on your behalf before a judge. This is the best kind of lawyer. This is a trustworthy lawyer. This is a lawyer in whom there is no fault. And he speaks up for you and me, in whom there's a whole lot of fault. And yet he points us to our Redeemer Jesus, who takes the fault and the guilt on himself and goes to the cross and atones for it. So that in the end, we stand before God not based on what I've done, not based on how good I've tried to be, not based on my sincerity, not based on how well my children are doing, or all the other things people use as a way of reinforcing in themselves that, yes, they're really good people and God should be happy with them. Those things don't count. Christ Jesus is my goodness. Christ Jesus is my holiness. Christ Jesus is the wisdom from God, in whom there is hope and a future. And so the Holy Spirit, to that end, points us to Jesus. It is ongoing work of Christ ruling his church and this world for the benefit of his church is something that we need to keep in mind, especially when the world around us and when Satan and when our old nature, our conscience, I should say, accuses us of all the things that are wrong. In a response to that, Paul says in Romans 8, "Who is the one who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." God's Son is there before the Father, displaying his wounds and saying, "I have died for these people. I have died for this particular person, this particular sinner. And they are to be forgiven and given new life." That is what our Lord Jesus engages in now. And this is where our comfort and our relief and our help comes from, that the Holy Spirit and Scripture testifies to us that this is what Jesus is doing. That Jesus, who gave up his life for us under the law and the wrath of God, is the one who defeated our enemy, the devil, and has won back from death us, his people. That he will return on the last day and fully reveal his kingdom and his might, and he will rescue us from this sinful, death-drenched world so that we are no longer under the threat of temptation and all of the things that Satan throws at us now. Until then, the Holy Spirit continues to testify, and that means he continues to build us up and create faith in us toward our Lord Jesus. So we trust in his work and in his victorious rule over his kingdom, the church. And this comfort the Holy Spirit is happy to give to us by pointing to Jesus. Remember what Jesus himself says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And the Holy Spirit bears this testimony to us because Jesus himself is the truth, that he is the eternal Son of God, our Savior and Redeemer, revealed in the perfect holy gospel expressed in the inspired scriptures. May our Heavenly Father preserve us in this faith now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.